And welcome to The Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, once again in our Buck studio with a performer. Live music coming your way, and we'll hear it both on Wisconsin Public Radio and see it on Wisconsin Public Television. My guest today is Alex Zhu. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to The Midday. Pleasure to have you. And you have won various distinguished competitions already at the ripe old age of about 16.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most recently, the Racine Symphony Orchestra mm-hmm. Young Artist Competition. And what did you play for that occasion?
I played Sarasate's Zagornerweisen, or Gypsy Airs.
Oh, great. We'll get to hear that today, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's becoming one of your trademark pieces, and no pushover, either. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But your musical background first.
I started playing piano actually at the age of three.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah. But then actually when I was seven, I switched over to violin, and I started playing with the String Academy of Wisconsin, which is down at UW-Milwaukee. And after a few years, we switched over to Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, or MYSO. And I'm currently playing with Dr. Sasha Mandel, who lives in Wauwatosa. I've been playing with him for 5 years now.
And so is it just assumed in your family that you were going to be a performer, a musician of some kind?
Kind of a musician. They told me to pursue my musical, I guess, kind of a career, yeah.
But at the age of three?
Not the age of three, of course. No, it was just kind of a hobby in a way. But actually, I switched over to violin because when I was seven, my brother was actually playing Gavotte Mignon, mm-hmm. Suzuki Book 2. And I was hearing it. I kept on hearing it. And I'm like, I want to beat him. I want to do better than he does.
So it was a sibling rivalry thing. It really got you into it.
It's all brothers do, yep.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'm going to switch to violin. So then I switched over, and here I am.
So you were, all of like six at that time?
Turning seven.
Okay, seven. Yeah.
Yeah,
much older.
Around there.
more mature. And you were playing, what, like a quarter-size violin at that point?
Oh, I think I actually played an eighth size.
An eighth, uh-huh.
Eighth size, yeah.
Okay, maybe you can answer this question. I've been curious about this, but not long enough to actually get a definitive answer. On an eighth size violin, how do they get the pitch to match that of other instruments?
Well, since the eighth size is kind of like around there,
yeah,
this big.
Yeah, like 6 inches for the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, so they have mm-hmm. to make like special strings, just like they make it for full sizes and for 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
So they make it smaller. I think they make the tension of the string a little different, and they wind it a little bit differently mm-hmm. so that, you know, you can match all the pitches with what you're playing. And I think that's all I really know about that.
That's enough for now. Get us started. So at the age of six or so, how much practicing did you do, and how much practicing did you want to do?
Well, of course, I didn't really want to practice. I mean, yeah. But I practiced about half an hour a day at most.
That's not bad for six.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what sort of things were you playing then?
We got these little Faber books. They're, I think, Faber. And I was on, like, book 3A.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just playing. It was, I think it was something with Jericho, like the Walls of Jericho.
Oh.
I was
okay,
playing it.
Sounds dynamic. Everything falls down at the end.
Yep, it's just forte pretty much.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, the violin, you know, you have the advantage over many of the other instruments is that it can be a showstopper. I mean, it's harder to do it with a bassoon, it's harder to do it with a flute.
True.
But with a violin, it just has that tradition. And so you started out playing these pretty flamboyant pieces even at the age of seven or so.
nope, not even close, no. I started, I think actually in book one for Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first piece was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, Variations.
A classic.
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Indeed. Yep, playing my 16th notes. It's pretty exciting.
Did you play any Bach at that point?
No.
Bach.
Nope.
Is that considered too difficult at that age, and if so, why?
It's, when you're starting off, it's kind of difficult because, I mean, Bach, especially with his six sonatas and partitas, they kind of require some, like a certain level of technique at the master.
That's right. They are, in effect, technical exercises. They just happen to be very musical ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're starting off like I was for the first year, I don't think you can make it to there. not that fast.
But. However, now at this ripe old age of 16, you have mastered some Bach.
A bit. Not really mastering, just kind of trying to play and hope for the best.
You'll settle for that. I'm expecting it's going to be a bit more than that, in fact. You're going to start then with a prelude from the Bach Partita number 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have Alex Zhu with us for the midday today, and he just played the prelude from the Partita number 3 by Johann Sebastian Bach, who provided a lot of fantastic Bach virtuosic music and also just challenging in more subtle ways, too, I suppose. Now, what else do you do? You're at Brookfield High School, Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what else do you do there when you're not playing the violin?
I also play some golf. I'm part of our varsity golf team. I've been part of it for the last 2 years now. And last year, actually, we were conference champions. Mm-hmm. And we've made it to sectionals both times. And we missed state qualifying by a bit, but next year, you know.
So do you think that is a game that helps you to concentrate?
Yeah, it requires concentration. It also requires precision, and you also have to have the ability to, when you make mistakes, you have to just kind of shake them off. Our team motto is actually this year was next shot. Our coach.
That was my team motto for years. I mean, still is if I were on a team.
Yeah, our coach gave us like these little ribbons that would say next shot on them. He would put them in our little bags and be like, next shot. And we were like, okay, coach.
Never applies to music, though. You get it right every time. No missed shots. But you do have to, as in golf, I suppose, assuming you ever do make a mistake, you have to recover and compensate and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we're going to move on to a composer who was one of the great violinist composers, virtuosi of the 19th century, Henri Wieniawski.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that appeals to you about Wieniawski's music?
Well, Wieniawski was actually called the Chopin of his time for the violin because being a Polish composer, he was known for his melodic expressions and just flowing notes. And what I liked about him is that he had the technique, but he also combined it with tone. And he was contemporaries with Paolo de Sarasate.
Sure.
And with the second violin concerto that I'm going to be playing today, he actually dedicated Sarasate himself because it wasn't as flashy as his first one, but this concerto actually has more orchestral integration in the piece. And with the first one, the F sharp major one, that one is, it's more technically difficult for the soloist, but the orchestra is just kind of just there for the ride, just kind of hopping along.
That happens, doesn't it, when you have a virtuoso writing a concerto?
Yeah,
the orchestra is often just kind of there.
Yeah, but by the time he wrote his second one, he was a little more developed in composing. And this time, the orchestra kind of also carries along the melody and kind of introduces the violin, which is kind of cool.
In this case, our orchestra is a pianist, Tsinghua Bei.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Alex Zhu is my guest for the midday today, and he just played, live here in our Buck studio, the first movement of Yanyovsky's Violin Concerto No. 2 in D. Alex, what appeals to you about the music of Sarasate? I mean, we've mentioned him now a couple of times, and he has that reputation as being really flamboyant. This piece you're about to play, the one that won you the competition, the Racine Symphony Young Artist Competition, flamboyant?
Yes, definitely flamboyant. What I like about it is that when you have the opening, it's kind of like an eye-opener in a way. Kind of, not a pun intended, but when you have it, when you first hear it, it starts off with an orchestra with bum, 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 ba-da-rum, bum, bum. Then you hear the soloist himself repeat this, but on the G string this time. And then it goes, and it's really flashy throughout the entire thing. And then after the first page, it slows down a bit. And this is when you hear more of a melody come through. But there's still flashiness and lots of techniques, like you have your upbow staccato, and then you have a bit of your spiccato and stuff. And then it gets kind of exciting there. And then
I suppose so.
Yeah. And then you go to the, I think it's a lento section, where it's very slow, and actually, but Sarasate was actually, he claimed that he made it himself, but people nowadays think that he filched the melody from the gypsies.
Well, it is called, does translate Gypsy Ways.
Yeah, true. And then actually in the last section, I like this section, that section the best, because that's when it's an upbeat tempo. It's kind of like a dance in a way, but it's a really fast dance in like 2/4 time, which is kind of interesting. And this is when the soloist shines through in the entire piece.
Now we're going to turn you loose on Zigeunerweisen.
Oh, thank you.
One of those smoking fiddle pieces, Violinist Love. That was the Zigeunerweisung of Pablo de Sarasate, played by my guest today in our Bach studio, Alex Ju. So you're finishing, what's your junior year in high school at Brookfield?
My sophomore year.
Sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have two more years to think about that next move. And in the meantime, does that mean that you travel around the country participating in competitions, or what do you do?
I usually stay local for competitions, yeah. No traveling for me, not much. Mm-hmm. Just ones around the state, mainly.
And so what's your dream piece? What is the next one that you'd be tackling? And then beyond that, what's the one you say, wow, okay, you know, I bet my brother could never even play that one.
I think my next piece actually might be Saint-Saëns' Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso.
Oh, yes, another favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think my favorite piece would be Sibelius's Violin Concerto.
No kidding. That's another one that you see fairly often, especially of late. It seems almost as if to mm-hmm, yeah. Have been rediscovered. Mm-hmm. And what do you think that it brings out in you, Alex Ju, as a violinist?
I feel that with Sibelius's Concerto, it's kind of brings out, I guess, kind of a coldness within. But then it's all.
This is Finland we're talking about.
It is Finland, yes. But it also has some nice heated moments, I think. For example, like with the there's a double stop moment, and I think that part's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a good meaty part for a violinist like you. Now, this next piece that we're going to hear has a rather curious title, Obertus Mazurka. Do you have any idea what that means?
I know that Mazurka is a dance.
Sure.
So Wieniawski, I think, actually wrote two mazurkas, and this is his second one, which he wrote for violin and for piano accompaniment.
And so we're going back now to Wieniawski, because we heard that movement from the concerto earlier. Mm-hmm. And what do we find in this that we wouldn't have found in that in terms of what techniques or things that appeal to you?
With the concerto, it's maybe not as flashy, I don't think.
Right,
but
you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the obertas, it's not too long. It's rather short, actually. Shortest piece. But with it, it has a little more flashiness, maybe a little less substance. The melody might not be as good, I think, as the Wieniawski's concerto.
Okay. But we're upfront about that.
Yeah, but it's action-packed throughout the entire thing.
Okay, well, we'll see what kind of action we get from this Obertus Mazurka by Wieniawski.
Okay. Thank you.
little encore piece.
Thank you.
Now, other than playing the violin, which obviously you do a lot of, and you mentioned the golf, but in terms of your academics, do you think violin is going to be the brunt of what you do, or are you going to be one of these people who has like a science major in addition to music as you progress through your academic career?
I'm actually thinking of maybe doing a dual enrollment program with both music and with medicine.
Oh, so? Yeah, no, this comes up more often than you might think.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I feel that with music, maybe after college, I want to maybe play in a professional orchestra and a tour of them. But also, I still want to have a career in medicine because actually both my parents are doctors, so they've kind of inspired me to pursue that path.
Did you mention that both of your parents play music too, or no?
No. mainly my mom. My dad sings.
Oh, well, that's music usually. Depends on who's doing the singing. But in any event, that's a background for you. And so you're going to be taking a lot of chemistry and physics and who knows what they learn in med school these days. That's where you're going. You have an aptitude for those things?
I'd say so.
Okay. Well, good luck to you in that, and we'll hope to hear more from you. You're going to be then participating, as you say, in more competitions.
This coming Wednesday, I'm actually going up to Green Bay to participate in the WSMA State Honors Camp, which I participated in last year.
School Music Association?
Yep, and I was concertmaster actually last year. And then afterwards, after we have a Saturday work in progress concert, and then I'll be going back down to Brookfield and going to the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center to perform with MISO because we have our Bon Voyage concert.
Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra?
Milwaukee Youth Symphony Orchestra, yep. I've been part of that for 4 years.
You have to translate this music lingo. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Because then our Bon Voyage concert is for our 10-day Europe tour, which we'll be leaving on this coming Sunday, actually. And we'll be coming back in 10 days. We'll be visiting places such as Vienna and Budapest.
Could be worse.
Pretty culturally rich in music.
Well, good luck with all that, too, and thanks again for being on The Midday, and we'll look forward to your next visit here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Pleasure having you, Alex Hsu.